Blog Talk Radio.
But Yah is good and greatly to be praised. I need to do a mic check to make sure I can be heard. The volume on my phone seems to be pretty low.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom, family. Shabbat shalom. Can I be heard?
Shabbat yes, shalom. You can be heard. Yes, sir.
All right. Amen. All right. I pray everybody has had a blessed week. I want to say Shabbat Shalom to everybody out on the internet, on Blog Talk, on Pal Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be listening. We greet you in the Master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, our Lord and our Savior. This Passover is all about him and what he has done for us. But we're going to look at it from the Old Testament perspective first on this evening. And I just wanted to go over a few things concerning this, because the Passover itself in Torah has laws concerning it. It has laws that must be abided by. And these laws did not change coming into the New Testament. So we have Messiah becoming, in the New Testament, our Passover lamb. But the law itself of the Passover is that, number one, Israel would keep it forever. We have to remember what the Most High says, that this is supposed to be a high holy day. It's supposed to be a high memorial day for Israel, and that we're supposed to keep it. And so we want to look at this day and understand that when the Most High gave this to us, our forefathers, it is a type and a shadow of what was to come, a type and a shadow of what was to come. And so we want to look at the history of this. We also want to look at, I wanted us to take a quick look at Sarah and Abraham's name, Abram and Sarai, because the Most High took his initial, a letter out of his name, and put it into their name. So we want to look at what's going on here. And then I also want us to take a look at that we who are in exile, who were sent into captivity by the Most High, but the Most High also caused Joseph to go to be taken as a slave, caused his brothers to do that to him, and raised him up to be viceroy in Egypt. So it was a purpose there, and the Most High never does anything, not even chastising his people, without a purpose. And so we got to understand, what is his purpose of sending us into slavery? Not just to discipline us, but it was also to put us into a place that he wanted us to be at. Nevertheless, let us do our statement of faith and pray in, and then we will jump into this precept. Our statement of faith: I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on this, his Shabbat, his Sabbath, his day of rest that he has ordained that we are to keep. Hallelujah. Thank you, Yah. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your tender mercy. We thank you for keeping us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. We thank you for having us in our right mind, Father. We thank you for all the things you provide for us every day, Father. Hallelujah. And that you would just think about us, and that you would call us, and that you would choose us, Father, to serve you according to your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. Hallelujah, God. We just want to thank you today for your status, the day of which that you have ordained, that those that love you, by this shall they, that you shall be known that you keep my Sabbath. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you. We magnify you, and we lift you up. For truly, you are worthy to be praised. Let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us all turn toward the east, toward Jerusalem. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but repent from our sins and turn from our wicked ways and repent of the sins of our forefathers, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears towards your people Israel if we didn't complain about the punishment. So, Father, we do acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you walk contrary to us. And, Father, we repent of our sins. And we turn from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us the meek and humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work, that you will give us favor in all that we do, that you would once again incline your eyes and your ears towards your people in Israel and hear our prayers and our supplications. In Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to the book of 2 Kings. First Kings, chapter 8. The book of First Kings, chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which thou hast built for thy name, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of fire, or the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. Let's go now to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and get verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, and the doing of his word. Amen. All right. We are coming into the Passover. And the Passover, we will celebrate it on Thursday this week, the 25th, starting at sundown, which will make it the 26th. But it's on your calendar, the 25th, sundown, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. And we want to, on tomorrow morning, I want to do the Passover from the perspective of the New Testament and Messiah. But tonight we're doing it from the Old Testament so that we have our foundation. Many people, probably if they get read the law, if they read in Torah, a lot of churches don't, surprisingly enough, not anymore. But when I first learned that, you know, a lot of organizations don't read from Torah. So when they're celebrating Easter and these other days, Good Friday, which doesn't really exist in the scriptures, it doesn't exist, it's 100% pagan, they don't really understand the fullness of the Passover. And then those, when they come into truth, that want to maintain it or want to keep it, sometimes they don't meet the standards of the law to keep it. And the Passover has laws with it that the Most High gave us as a people. The scripture says, when a stranger wants to come close and keep the Passover, there are things that they have to do. So just being a Christian when it comes to the Passover is not enough. It's not enough. Okay. Being a believer in Messiah, even being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, doesn't override this, doesn't cancel this out. And so we want to look at those things. But I want to give us some historical perspective of our forefathers coming into the promised land, the promise that was made to them, them coming into the land that they went into, because this land that they went into, Abraham walked in it. And this goes back to a promise, which I forgot to put in here, goes back to a promise that the Most High made to Abraham. Everywhere you walk, everywhere you step, I'm going to give it to your descendants. So when we go back and we do our history and we do our research, we find that Abraham went into Egypt. And the place that he went into Egypt, I'll just give you the name of it, was Goshen. It was called the land of Canaan. But Abraham walked there, so by de facto, Most High said, this belongs to you and your descendants. When we come, when Jacob brings the 66 with him into Egypt, Joseph is already there. So we're going to read these things. He's already there. And he tells Pharaoh to let them stay in Goshen. Now, the Most High knows what's going on. Maybe Joseph knows what's going on. I don't know. The scriptures don't say that he knows what's going on. But he's following the orders of the Most High. And so our forefathers were living in a land that was theirs that they didn't control. It was theirs by promise of the Most High. But they didn't control it, okay? So when they went to stay in Egypt, the Most High had them to put them in their own land. This is yours by promise to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. So I'm bringing you into Egypt. I'm going to cause Egypt to fall. I'm going to destroy her in her power. Because little is known, amongst our people, you know, we hate to hear this, but the truth of the matter is the Most High was the Elohim in Egypt as well. And he said he made Egypt great. And Egypt was a global power. So I want you to understand this, that when you come into the Americas and the pyramid systems that you see in the Americas, in South America, in North America, in China, they are all Egyptian by nature. Egypt was a global power. And even Christopher Columbus and Balboa I forget Balboa's first name, write in their journals that they saw black people in the Americas. They said they were Egyptians, and they were already there. Okay, so this was a global power. I was reading somewhere in scripture, and I have a hard time finding it now, because sometimes you're reading and you read something, you say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound like what I'm reading. But the Most High showed me that, and I'm still looking for these verses again, but that he destroyed Egypt and that he was going to cause Egypt to be just a sliver of its former self. And so truth be known, they know that the Sahara Desert has not always been desert. There was a time that it was actually green and lush, but the Most High destroyed it. And I read it in the scripture, and he had to, you know, sort of let me see it through spiritual eyes, but he was talking about Egypt and that he had buried it in that desert. So, you know, they're finding stuff up under that sand all the time, but it is so thick and deep and shifts that I don't think that form of glory will be revealed for a long time until the Most High is ready for it to be revealed. All those lost cities. Some of it they can see by radar. Some of it they can't, you know, it just looks like it's empty and it's barren. But the Most High showed me through the word that, no, I destroyed Egypt. And the same curses that are on Israel are on Egypt. They came on Egypt first. And he told Israel, hey, if you don't obey me, the same curses that came upon the Egyptians are going to come upon you. So we find ourselves scattered, and the true Egyptians find themselves scattered as well. So we have to keep all these things in mind. When we're coming up on the Passover, the Most High has sent, he has made a determination that he's going to judge Egypt and that he's going to send his new nation, Israel, into Egypt to become a nation. So they are few. Starts off with Abraham. By the time it gets to Jacob, they are 66 strong, actually 70, because Joseph is in Egypt. 70 strong. When they come out of Egypt, they are in the millions when he brings us out. But he has already predetermined this, what he's going to do and what purpose he's using Egypt for. So the Passover was also already preordained, because the Most High told Moses, when I send you into Egypt, don't forget to do everything that I told you to do, because I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart that he won't let the people go, because I'm going to judge Egypt. And you're going to rob her or spoil her on your way out. This also preordains the Passover. The Most High already knew what he was going to do. But there's some spiritual things that I want us to make light of and take light of, take note of. Number one, the Most High, when he made the promise to Abraham, his name was originally what? Abram. And the Most High added one of the initials of his name, the Hay, and made it Abraham. He added the Hay from his name into Abraham's name. He did also the same thing with Sarai. Her name was Sarai. And then he added his initial to her name. And she became Sarah. When we look at the Passover, that same letter that he added to Abraham, and that he added to Sarah's name, he had them to put that same initial on the doors in blood. So now he says, when the destroyer comes, he's going to see my initial on you in blood, and you're going to be up under that blood, and I will pass over you, and I will not judge you. When I see my initial on you. So these are significant things that we need to pay attention to, because it's just the same way. You got to come up under the blood of Christ. In this case, the Most High used the blood of a lamb, a sheep, a goat, But then he used his initial in blood on that house. And that house came up under the blood of the Most High. It was considered to be his initial. When I see this, I will pass over you. So let us go to the scriptures. And let's start in Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. And we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read down through verse 11. Genesis chapter 45, starting in verse 1, down through verse 11. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from him. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Now, if we were to read all of this account, there is a famine. Joseph has, Pharaoh has had a dream, and he sees these cattle, seven fat cattle and seven lean cattle. And none of his seers, none of his could interpret the dream for him. And Joseph has been in prison. And the very man that he had helped to get out of prison was supposed to help him get out, but didn't do it. I think it was another, don't quote me on this, it's either another 7 or 13 years that Joseph is in jail, in prison, for falsely accused of raping Potiphar's wife. So he's in jail. And while he's in jail, then it comes to their remembrance that, oh, there's a Hebrew Israelite that can interpret dreams. And so he's called for. And his brothers, he interprets the dream for Pharaoh, and he, rises to viceroy. Second in command only to Pharaoh. Pharaoh says, the only thing that you won't have authority over in this kingdom is me. But you shall act on my behalf, and anything that you say goes in the land of Egypt. Now, there's a famine that spreads throughout all that region, and Joseph's brothers come into Egypt because of what Joseph has done. He has caused them to save up the seven fat years. And they come into Egypt to buy corn and grain to take back home. So we won't go through the entire story, but now they are, and Joseph hides himself from them so that they don't know that who he is. Now we're at the point where he reveals himself to them when we're reading in these verses. So let's continue. Verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you, that you, and they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here. For Elohim did send me before you to preserve life. So, as I said, the brothers did a work, but it was the Most High's will that Joseph be in Egypt ahead of them. For what reason? To preserve life. Now, who knows what would have happened? Who knows even what would have happened to Egypt had the Most High had not sent Joseph there? Then he would advise Pharaoh, hey, you need to save up for these seven fat years, because there's going to be seven lean years, real lean years behind it. If the Most High hadn't done that, then Egypt probably would have had suffered greatly as well. So Joseph is sent there on purpose. Now, that also equates to us who have been scattered through slavery. And the Most High showed me this maybe 10, 15 years ago, that we are a type of Joseph. And we are here in this place not just out of punishment. He used that to also place us where he wanted us to be. And if we are obedient, then we will rise just like Joseph rose. And we're looking to try to, you know, most of us are looking, trying to go back to the land, but the Most High says, I put you there for a purpose. Your scattering into where you are at is not just for discipline. It's to correct you, but also when you come out of that correction so you can do the job that I intended for you to do from the very beginning. See, had we been obedient, had our forefathers been obedient, we'd have been in these lands anyway, spreading the gospel, spreading the kingdom. We'd have been emissaries, diplomats, ambassadors, spreading the gospel of the kingdom. But because our foreparents were stiff-necked and hard-hearted, the way the Most High had to get us here was through slavery. Now he's waking us up and telling us to get on our J-O-B. And I pray we can hear that. Okay, so this is all in his grand scheme. And we just have to be hearers and obeyers of the word. Okay, back to the reading. Back to the scriptures. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, verse 5 again, that you so be hither, for Elohim did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are five years, in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. So Joseph is telling him, hey, there ain't going to be nothing coming up. There ain't going to be no ears on the stalks. There ain't going to be no harvests of no ears of corn or anything. So this is a grievous famine. And had Joseph not been prepared for it, had he not prepared Egypt for it, probably devastation would have come to the entire region. But the Most High already had a plan for raising up another nation, and he couldn't allow that nation that he was going to raise up to perish. So I'm going to save my old land, and I'm going to save you through my old land, Egypt. I'm going to send you there, and I'm going to prosper Egypt through my servant Joseph, that he might preserve your lives. Let's continue. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me here, but Elohim. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord, a master of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste, or hurry you, and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, Elohim has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not or wait not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. Now here we have the land that they were supposed to be going into, Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flock, and thy herd, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for there are 5 years of famine, least thou and thy household, and all that thou hast come to poverty. Now remember, the Most High had blessed Abraham. He had blessed Isaac. And he had blessed Jacob, and they were not poor. He had blessed them in everything that they put their hands to, in cattle, in camels, in donkeys, in everything that they touched, he had blessed them. And he said, hey, if y'all don't come here now, if y'all wait around, everything that the Most High has given you, you're going to lose it. You're going to become going to poverty. So hurry up and get here. Okay. Let us go to the book of Genesis chapter 46. So we see that the Most High has told Israel to to go into the land of Goshen. Okay? And the land of Goshen, we're going to read, is the best of the best in Egypt. Let's continue. Genesis chapter 46, starting in verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 4. And Israel took his journey. Now, Israel is Jacob, and his name has been changed to Israel. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto Elohim of his father Isaac. And Elohim spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. He said, here am I. And he said, I am Elohim, Elohim of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. And I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. So the Most High tells Jacob, fear not to go into Egypt. I'm going to make of thee, your descendants, what? A great nation. Now, in the grand scheme of things, as I said, the Most High was Elohim of Egypt. And they perverted themselves, and he cast them off as a people, because they, every sin that there was, even up to the point of making a man Elohim, Egypt was doing. Pharaoh was considered Elohim. And not only Elohim, but he represented a false pagan god, Ra, the sun god. And so the Most High had already determined that he was going to cast Egypt off. But he sent his new nation, the one that he chose to be his priesthood. He says, you know what? I want a nation of priests. See, the reason that the Egyptians can say that Israel stole a lot from them is because they worshiped the Most High Elohim, but they corrupted themselves. There was a priesthood in Egypt, and they corrupted themselves. So when you hear of the Egyptians talking about the laws of Maat and so forth and so on, they're not being untruthful. But the truth of the matter is the Most High cast them off, and he brought in Jacob, Abraham's descendants, to make of us a people that he chose to be a priesthood to him. And that was supposed to be, and is supposed to be our job, is to be a priesthood to the Most High. So he says, this former nation that I had, I'm going to bring you in, and I'm going to allow you to grow up inside of them, and I'm going to make of you a great nation. Then I'm going to bring you out again, because I'm going to destroy this land. And so this is how our forefathers ended up in Egypt, because the Most High had determined he was going to judge Egypt. He had already preordained the Passover, because he knew what he was going to do, bringing us out. This is not by happenstance. It's not by accident. He had already said, I'm going to cause you to spoil the Egyptian, which means that he also had seen and preordained that there would be a Passover. I'm going to destroy the, when he first, well, let's read it so that you understand. Let's continue. Let's go to Genesis chapter 46. Let's drop down to verse 31. Drop down to verse 31, and we're going to get verses 31 through 34. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, my brethren and my father and my father's house were in the land of Canaan and are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade has been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say, what is your occupation? What do you do for a living? That you shall say, thy servant's trade has been about cattle from our youth, even until now, both we and also our fathers, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen. for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. So now Joseph is saying, hey, I want you to tell Pharaoh that you are sheep herders. You herd cattle because this is going to separate you from the Egyptians because people who do this type of job are an abomination to the Egyptians. Why is that? The Egyptians worship cattle. The Hebrew Israelites raised them and ate them. And even when you, if you read into the scriptures, you will find that even when Moses is dealing with Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is saying, hey, have your feast here. Just go, you know, a little ways out in the desert or whatever and have your feast here. Moses said, do you think that your people want us to, want to see us kill the abomination? He's talking about slaughtering the cattle, but the Egyptians worshiped the cattle. It was a god to them. So for them to be sheep herders, the Egyptians sort of considered this to be an abomination. So they, it would separate them. Now, let's see what else happens here, because when we get into Exodus chapter 12, then it'll give you a little better understanding of what has happened to our people, okay? Let's continue. Let's go to Genesis chapter 47, starting in verse 1. Genesis 47, starting in verse 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? Now, let's stop here for just a second. You have to understand the Egyptian economy to understand this question. Because the Egyptian economy was based upon building cities, building pyramids, building super humongous statues. That was their economy. So what do you do? He wants to know how are they going to contribute to his economy. What's your occupation? We are herdsmen. Now let's see what happens. Because this is really all Elohim. Back to verse 3. What is your occupation? And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. They said, moreover, unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land we are come. For thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. Now, stop here for a second. It goes back to the promise of Abraham that the Most High made to Abraham again. Wherever your footsteps, that is I'm giving to the your descendants as an inheritance forever. Egypt owns this land, but the Most High said it belongs to Israel. And not only did he give them land in Egypt, but Pharaoh just told you Goshen was the best of the land in Egypt. So the Most High caused Abraham to walk in the what? Best of the land everywhere he went, everywhere your footsteps. I'm giving you the best of the land in Egypt as an inheritance. It is yours and your descendants by covenant forever. Do you think the Egyptians really want to give that land up? And Israel, because Israel has not been obedient but stiff-necked, you know that Israel only controlled all the land that the Most High gave Israel during the time of David? It's the only time Israel has ever possessed all of the land that the Most High has given Israel, between the Nile and the Euphrates River, under David's reign. But he said it belongs to Israel forever. Now we see Israel only occupies a sliver of land along the Mediterranean Sea. And so have they really reestablished Israel? No, they haven't. The Most High says all the land between the Nile and the Euphrates River belongs to Israel. So even the people over there right now claiming to be the inhabitants of Israel have only really reclaimed the area that used to be known as Palestine. Used to be known as Cana. And Jerusalem was a Canaanite city. The Canaanites that came in and invaded and taken over, and the Most High says, you know, I'm gonna bring my people back into the land, and they got to clean up the promised land. All that land, it really, let's just put it where the goats can get it. The Most High says, all that is sacred to me. It is my land that I have claimed on the earth for my throneship, where I'm going to sit at. And so when he has Jacob or Abraham walk the land, Egypt, he had him to walk in the best of the best of that land. He said, now this is all belongs to you and your descendants by birthright, by covenant. So when we read about the circumcision, where they say, oh, circumcision is not important in the New Testament, it's talking about for salvation. It's talking about to get into the kingdom of the Most High. But if you want to be a resident and live in Israel, a resident of Israel, then by covenant, we're going to read what's required of you. Well, we can't read that part. So let me just say it, because I'm not going back into there right now. By covenant, the covenant that the Most High made with Abraham is, all of your males shall be what? Circumcised. This is the covenant. And they shall have an inheritance in the land, whether they are bought as a servant, whether they are a stranger that comes close, or they're born of your seed. They must be circumcised to reside in this land. That's the covenant, okay, for the land. So when we get into the New Testament and they're talking about circumcision to get into the kingdom, well, that's a whole different thing because the kingdom is global. It's not just Israel. It is global. And the Most High said, no, I'm not requiring circumcision to enter into the kingdom. But if you want to be a citizen of Israel and live in that land, and have access to the temple and be able to go into the temple, then I don't care what you are, what bloodline you are, Hebrew or Gentile, you must be circumcised. So let's continue. That's the covenant. Okay, Genesis chapter 47. And start in verse 5. I think I read down to there. Yeah. 47, starting in verse 5. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now, let's talk about verse 6 for a minute. And as I said, we're leading up to the Passover. Verse 6, and make them rulers over my cattle. This was Israel's job, and this was to keep them separate from the Egyptians. You are going to not build cities. Your job are going to be my royal herdsmen. You're going to look after my royal sheep, my royal cattle. Remember that the Egyptians worship cattle. So I'm putting you over those things that I worship. And it was a form of a priesthood. but it was to keep them separate from the Egyptians and being city builders, being taken, because the Most High says, I'm going to make of you a what? A nation of what? Kings and priests. So they come into Egypt. They are made the royal herdsmen. So when we start reading about what this new Pharaoh made them do, then you can understand they have been doing what they have been doing their whole life. What? Herding cattle. Now we're going to have a new Pharaoh come into town. Let's continue. And we are, let us go to the book of Exodus chapter 1. The book of Exodus chapter 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls, for Joseph was in Egypt already. We can go back a couple of chapters, and it'll tell you that there were 66 souls with Jacob. Now they're in Egypt. They're also calling, because now he knows Joseph is alive, and now he's counting the four. Joseph, his wife, and his two children. So there's 70 souls there now. And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. Now, I want you to understand, Joseph is second in command in all of Egypt. And Pharaoh honors Joseph's father, his brethren, give them the best of the best in the land. Make them my royal herdsmen. And our brethren, our forefathers were not in slavery from the time that they came into Egypt until after Joseph's death. And this goes toward the prophecy of the 400 years being in affliction, that it was not fulfilled in Egypt by Jacob and his descendants. Our forefathers. It was not fulfilled at that time. So there had to be another time that this prophecy would have to be fulfilled. But that's another lesson. But just understand that from the that you read that Joseph was second in command. There is no way on the Most High's green earth that Jacob and his sons and their descendants would ever be slaves as long as Joseph was alive, and even some thereafter. So when the scriptures are giving you clues. Okay, let's continue. Sharon, hold on a minute. All right, let's continue. And let us go to, well, let's continue where we were at. Verse 6, Exodus chapter 1, verse 6. And Joseph died and all his brethren and all that generation. So now all these people that came in to Egypt with Jacob has died already some years back. Joseph has died. His brothers have died. All the ones that came in, the 66, all the 70, let's put it this way, all the 70 are dead. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. If you are studied at all, in the scriptures, in history, you know how in the world the Egyptians were one of the greatest record keepers there were. How could there ever arise a new king or a pharaoh that didn't know Joseph? hadn't been dead that long. Here is this man that was an ex-prisoner, made second in command in Egypt, and you got a new king that don't know him, haven't heard about him. That raised a red flag for me when I first read that. I'm like, how can that be? But then when you go back and you study history, you understand that Israel was conquered more than once. But in this case, Israel was conquered by the Assyrians. And you have to go into the Psalms to understand that it was the Assyrians that afflicted our people in Egypt. So we have Egypt being conquered. And there comes up an Assyrian king that don't know anything about Egyptian history and could care less. And he don't know nothing about Joseph and what he's done. And even if he knew, he would not have cared. But in this case, we read that he didn't know anything. So now he's going to look at the Hebrews in a different light. They have been the royal herdsmen. Now let's see what their job is. Let's continue. And there arose a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more mightier than we. This is not saying that they're more mightier than the Egyptians. These are the people, they are more mightier than the people that have conquered the land, the Assyrians. Come, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. So we get them out, so get them out of the land. Now, why is it that this Pharaoh wants to keep these Hebrew Israelites? Come, let us deal wisely with them. At least they want to leave the land. They want to join with our enemies and get up out of the land. He's already looking at them as a form of labor. And he's afraid, hey, they might, if somebody else come in here attack, they might join forces with them because they are just as many or more than we are in the land. Let's continue. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh, now he's got the title of what, Pharaoh, treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. We see an occupation change here. Now you're not the royal herdsmen anymore. You are stone cutters. You are makers of mortar. You are whatever we need to build cities. And not only that, truth be known, we want your women because we want to use them to multiply us. So they have this agenda. Now, I say to you this, the Most High had to show me this as well. I sent you into Egypt. I gave you the best of the best in Egypt. You have been prospering. You've been the royal herdsman. You've had it good. You've gotten fat. You are prospering exceedingly in Egypt. How do I get you to leave? How do I get you to want to leave? Maybe I need to turn up the heat. And that I need to reintroduce you to me and make you call on me and want to leave this place. So let me send somebody in there. Remember, the Most High says, all power and all kings and all kingdom come by him. So who do you think allowed the Assyrians to conquer the Egyptians? The Most High. And the purpose is, I need to get my people to want to leave. They got it good and they're fat. Why would they ever want to leave the best of the best land in Egypt? Why would they ever want to stop herding sheep? Because this is all they have ever done, herding sheep and cattle. So I'm going to send someone in. I'm going to allow him to conquer Egypt. And I'm going to allow them to afflict my people, that they might call on me to be delivered out of this land, because I need them to want to leave. Let's continue. So they have a change of occupation. They're now city builders. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. Now, they were trying to think about this. They weren't just afflicting them. They were trying to get rid of them, but only a certain portion of them really comes down to the men. And the more that they afflicted them and the more they killed them, the more the Most High multiplied Israel, causing them to be just that much more fertile. And their biggest fears that, oh, these people are going to outgrow us, they're going to become more than us, came to be because of the affliction that they put on Israel. Verse 13, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. That's hard labor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, making that mud with the straw in it, and in brick, making the bricks out of the mortar, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. So it's like they put them in hard bondage. And you've had it good. This is what causes the people to cry out to the Most High that we need to be delivered out of this land. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women, see and see them upon the stools. If it be a son, then you shall kill him. And if it be a daughter, then she shall live. Kill the males, save the females. Why do you do that? Because you're trying to reproduce yourself. But the midwives feared Elohim and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them. But they saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have you done this thing and have saved the men children alive? So this wasn't unknown to him. So look and see what he says. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women act are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere or before the midwives come unto them. Therefore Elohim dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared Elohim, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all of his people, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river. And every daughter you shall save alive. So he first gave his commandment to the midwives. When you see the Hebrew women on the birthing stools, if the baby comes out a male, kill it. Comes out a female, save it. Don't kill it. But the midwives feared Elohim, and they didn't kill the male children. And so Israel continued to what? Multiply. Now Pharaoh, why doesn't he have these midwives killed? Because the Most High was looking over them, and he caused Pharaoh not to kill them. And we got to think about that, that the Most High is able to and will take care of you, even if you're not one of his, if it's for his purpose. These are Egyptian midwives. And they're saying, hey, these Hebrew women ain't like the Egyptian women. They ain't in here in all this hard labor. Before we get there, they are delivered of this child. And so Pharaoh tells his people, the Assyrians, if you see a Hebrew male child, kill it. Throw it in the river. In other words, he's saying feed it to the crocodiles. And if it's a female child, So the Egyptian midwives wouldn't do it, so he went to his own people that conquered Israel. I mean, conquered Egypt, not Israel. And said, you guys kill him. If you see a male child, kill it. If you see a female child, save it. This is adding to the torture, the rigor, the hard times that are going to cause Israel to cry out to the Most High to want to leave the best of the best. Because you think about it now, if you were in the best of the best in America, or whatever land you're in, Canada, South America, Europe, Africa, if you had the best of the best land there, what would make you want to leave that land? I mean, you got it made. You got everything you want, everything you need. You're prospering. But it's not the place that the Most High wants you at. We even run into that sometime in businesses that we're in, companies that we're at, where we're employed. We got it made, but the Most High don't want us there. In this case, I need to get this people to want to leave this land as a nation. So he causes another nation to come in and to conquer them and then to start afflicting them. Now let's continue. Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And I want us to pay attention here because the Most High set some rules down here that we have to pay attention to. Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth month, in the tenth day of this month, of the first month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if that household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count of the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole of assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So there's a law right there. Now, let me say something unequivocally here first. Number one, we don't take and we don't kill a lamb anymore because the lamb was to be a sin sacrifice. We have Messiah for that. But we're still supposed to observe this feast day. So let's continue. So Messiah takes the place of the lamb. That don't mean that you can't have lamb as part of the feast. Don't get me wrong. But you're not supposed to take the blood and put it on the door. Not calling us to do that. Let's continue. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto him, his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two sides of the posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat. All right, so if you have a piece of paper with you, if you're taking notes, I want you to draw a door, just a, you know, a little simple stick frame door, the frame of it. And then I want you to take your pencil and just sort of shade in where you would put the blood at according to these instructions, along the two side posts and along the top. When you look at that, that is a sign of the hay in Hebrew. Looks like an N. That is the same letter out of his name that he gave to Sarah and Abraham. Change Abram into Abraham by adding this letter to Abraham's name. Change Sarai into Sarah by taking the I out and replacing it with this same letter, a letter out of his name, Yod Heh Vod Heh. The Yod, YH, Heh, V for Vod, H for Heh. So you added an H in the English to their names. Okay. Now he's having them to put this letter on their doorpost, his initial, a letter out of his name. Let's continue. Verse 7. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night. When you are doing this feast day, whatever you cook, you cannot have any leftovers. To keep this feast day. So you know how we have feasts and we have leftovers and we want to pack them up and everybody takes them home? To keep this feast day, you can't do that. Everything that you cook has to be eaten in that night. You cannot save it up to honor the feast day. So keep your Tupperware at what, home? If you get together and have the feast, everything that y'all eat, that y'all bring, y'all need to eat it then. Now, when they did this, this was preparing them to go on their long trek. But we're still told that everything that you prepare that night, you're supposed to eat. And not really taking your time. Because, you know, we'd have made it to where, oh, we'll take our time. We'll sit down and have a good meal and unbuckle our belt buckle and let our bellies hang out. And that is not the memorial of the day. That is not to keep the Passover in the way that the Most High said to keep it in remembrance. Eight, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water. So your meat should not be what? Sodden with water. That means not boiled, but roast with fire. In this case, when they did the lamb, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. This word pertinence, I believe it's like the insides. I forget when I looked this up. Let's look it up right now. Now, again, you're not required to go get a whole lamb because the lamb really represents who in this, when we come into the New Testament, represents Mashiach. But let me get this word pertinence. No, that's not it. The entrails. That's talking about the guts, the insides. So the Most High said, well, eat it all. Let's continue. and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaining of it until the morning, you shall burn with fire. Now, let me say this to us. In the spirit of Passover, and we're doing this to honor the Most High, then you don't want to leave anything to the next day. This is like, what is it, the peace offering. If you make a peace offering to the Most High, you have 3 days to eat it, or 2 days. And the third day, if there's anything left of the peace offering, you're not to eat it. Or he says, I discount your peace offering. In this case, he's saying, hey, for the lamb, you are not to leave, for this Passover meal, you're not to leave anything until the morning. And anything that is left over in the morning, you're supposed to do what? Burn it. It's holy. And even in this feast, we can't just make it, oh, we're having a cookout. Everybody come over, and we're going to enjoy this feast together. That is not to memorialize the feast. It is not common. This is, as a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that this day is a most holy day, the Passover. We should not make it common. Or we're just going to have a barbecue, and we come over, and everybody drink and get drunk, and we're just going to party. No. This is a holy day. It's a holy convocation. The first day of the Feast of Leaven, which is the Passover, is holy. So you don't treat it as common. You don't treat it like an everyday meal. You don't treat it like the 4th of July. I pray we can hear this. It is not a common meal. Let's continue. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. Haste, in a hurry. It is Yah's Passover. So when we do this, we're not supposed to be lingering around, listening to party music, listening to praise music. To keep it in remembrance, you're supposed to eat it in what? Haste, in a hurry. This is so that you can remember what it was like. And so I know, at least from some of the observance that I've seen, people treat this as a feast day, but they treat it like a worldly common feast day, and it is a holy convocation. And when you eat it, you're supposed to be, you're on your mind should be the Most High and what he did for our forefathers. And this is most important to the Most High, that we be of that mind. And we're doing this in remembrance, for a memorial. But it is not a, it's supposed to be solemn. Do you think on Passover, when they were not knowing what was going to happen, and the Most High had them to kill that lamb and put the blood on the doorpost, do you think all that night when they heard people screaming and dying and all the firstborn in Egypt, even the firstborn of the animals were dying, you think that was a festive occasion? And even those in Israel that didn't believe, or if they were in prison and they couldn't get under that blood of that sheep, under the initial of the Most High, they died, whether they were Israel or not. So this was solemn. This was a very grievous night. There was much death throughout all the land of Egypt. And the Most High says, I'm going to use this to deliver you. All the first of Egypt is really dying for all the first of Israel as a sin offering, as a retribution for the sin of not only Egypt, but Israel. So this was not festive. And trust me, when the destroyer, you didn't know whether he was coming in or not. And you could hear all that death outside and throughout all the land. So he says, you're going to eat it with haste, in a hurry, because this is the atmosphere of that night. This memorial, you memorialize something to remember the way that it was, to put you in that mind frame, and so that you could think about all what was going on, and then what the Most High was doing for us. He was delivering us out of the land, but the occasion, gruesome. And so we shouldn't take this lightly, because even some of our people died. So he wants us to remember this. Remember how our forefathers were being persecuted. Remember how I came to deliver you. You were in the hands of the most powerful kingdom on the earth at the time, which was Egypt, even though they had been conquered. And if you look at history, no matter what country conquered Egypt, they always wanted to keep that title, what? Pharaoh. Why? Because it had significance. I am Pharaoh over Egypt, a global empire. So this is what they were remembering. This is what they were supposed to remember. We were in the clutches of the most powerful kingdom on the earth. And the Most High had to come in and kill all the firstborn throughout that whole land to get them to allow us to leave. Put that in context with wherever you're at, whatever the city that you're in or the country that you're in. And suddenly all of the firstborn of every household that didn't follow what the Most High said, they are dead. All the firstborn in the land. Hold on a minute. All right, let's continue. Verse 11 again. Thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, with your shoes on your feet, and with your staff in your hand, prepared to go. Have this frame of mind, and you shall eat it in haste, in a hurry. It is Yah's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all Elohims of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am Yah. So when you look at the plagues that are the Most High brings against Egypt, every plague that he brings against them is something that they worship. And he was showing the Egyptians that everything you worship, I control. Even down to you, Pharaoh, who have made yourself a god, if you are able to protect your firstborn from me, since you are God, protect your firstborn from me. Israel is my firstborn. Let my firstborn go. And if you don't let my firstborn go, I'm going to kill your firstborn. But then he told Moses, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so that he won't let the people go, so that I can kill his firstborn to show him he's no God. Let's continue. Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is what the Passover is all about. I'm going to pass over judgment on you. Anybody that's obedient, I'm going to pass over judgment on you. The destroyer will not come in, and your firstborn in your house will not die. When I see you up under the blood, when I see you up under the initial, when I see you up under the name, I will pass over judgment on you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, a remembrance. And you shall keep it a feast to Yah throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So we're to do this forever, not a law. It's a memorial. You remember, you memorialize something by remembering what happened and how it happened and what was the circumstances of it happening. That's how you memorialize. You retell the story. You relive it. That's how you memorialize it. So do we really think that they were having a good time that night? They were not. They were preparing to get up out of there, number one. Number two, they had death all around them. And the Most High says, I'm getting you ready to get out of here. So eat a big meal. Eat everything. Don't let nothing remain until the morning. And whatever you let remain, burn it. It's holy, but don't leave it to the Egyptians either. This is a serious time. Verse 14, again. And this day shall be unto you a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to Yah throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by ordinance forever. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So, all the leaven in your house, white bread, muffins, rolls, that kind of stuff, need to be gone. And you need to only for 7 days, starting with Passover, eat unleavened bread. We know that the unleavened represents sin. So we're putting away sin out of our lives, out of our houses. Should already be out, but this is by celebration and observance to say that we acknowledge this and we know this. And in the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. And in the seventh day, the first day of unleavened is Passover. That's why I tell you, this is not a glorious time where you are getting drunk and just partying. This is a holy convocation. It's not a barbecue. But we bring out the goods and everybody bring the hot links and do all this stuff. You can cook that stuff, but what I'm saying is it's not supposed to be a gleeful time. It's a party. And people are coming and they're drinking alcohol and they're getting drunk and doing all this kind of stuff. It is not that. This is a holy day to the Most High. It's one of the most holies to him. So I pray we can hear that. Let's continue. So, verse 16 again. Underline it. And the first day shall be a what? Holy convocation. And the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which a man must eat, that only may be done of you. So what is he saying for the Passover? You in observance of it, you can't work. No manner of work shall be done except where you can prepare your what? Passover meal. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days, unleavened bread, no leaven. The first day is a holy convocation, and the seventh day is a holy convocation. That means they're not party days. They're not sex days. These are days that husbands should not come at their wives. Holy convocations. Just like the Sabbath. So don't think of it and treat it as something common, because this is not an everyday, it's not like every other day of the week. So whatever you're going to do, if you marry, do it before that day. I would say the day before, because if you do it on that day, you are unclean until what? The Passover starts. You're unclean till sundown. Now, granted, the first day and the seventh day, the other days in between, you don't say you can't come together. They're not holy convocations. It's a weekly observance, but 2 days in there are what? Holy. And husbands and wives should not be coming at each other during those times. We do not want to come before the Most High in an unclean state. Let's continue. Verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavening, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. So no, you cannot give your white bread to a stranger and say, here, eat this, because of what it represents. Now, this stranger are those who tied themselves to Israel, the Gentile nations, that wanted to come close. When they came out of Egypt, everybody that came out of Egypt was not Israel. There were some Egyptians that came out of Egypt with Israel. And those Egyptians that came out of Egypt with Israel came out because they wanted to be part of Israel. They had married into Israel. Israel had married into them. They came out a mixed multitude. And the Most High, when they came out that way, he considered them all Israel. So nobody could eat it, whether they were a stranger or whether they were the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They couldn't eat unleavened bread. So let's read that verse again. 7 days, verse 19. 7 days shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavening, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leaven in all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. So now they're actually killing this lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood, which is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. For Yah will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts, Yah will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you come to the land which Yah will give you, according as he has promised, that you will keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? Why are you doing that? This is the memorial portion, to do these things over, and then tell your children, memorialize it in them so that they know, that you shall say, it is the sacrifice of Yah's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as Yah had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight Yah smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. So remember I told you that if there were some Hebrews in jail and they were the firstborn, they died too. They had to come up, they had to do what was required and fit under the instruction in the covenant. I need to see you under the blood. And if you happen to be, have been disobedient, have been unlawful, even in the land that you were in and you were in prison and you were firstborn, you died. He was not discriminatory. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Now, we got brothers and sisters that would be saying, oh, we should have been celebrating. We should have been doing this, and we should have been doing that. No, it's a holy convocation. We are celebrating that Yah delivered us. But he does not want to treat that thing. He does not take any death casual, even of the enemy. He is judging them because they corrupted themselves. And this judgment is coming, and it has come. But Yah says, I would that you all repent. Don't you think he gave Egypt a space to repent, and they didn't? So now he must carry out his judgment. He's going to do the same thing when he returns. This time, I have given you all a space to repent. Now, when I come to take out judgment, I'm not being discriminatory. Even if you, Israel, if you are out of place, if you are not, have not done what I told you to do, I'm killing you too. Remember, he's coming to take the wicked out. And it won't just be the firstborn. It'll be the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, however many don't meet the requirement. So in his first Passover, he killed the firstborn. When he comes this next time, it's not just the firstborn. It is all who have been disobedient and have not come up under the covenant, the New Testimony, have not come into Messiah exactly the way that he said to come into Messiah. That's who he's killing. And he's not passing over them. He's going to pass over, quote unquote, his saints, the ones that have been obedient, have followed the instructions and did them. So it won't matter if you're a Hebrew Israelite by birth. If you haven't done what you were supposed to do, if you haven't followed the instructions and completed them, if I don't see you up under the blood, I'm killing you. Just as it was in Egypt. But I only killed the firstborn there. Now I'm going to kill everybody that don't come up under the blood. Everybody who is not born of the water and of the spirit. I'm going to pass over all those that I see that I've completed. Just as I passed over all those who did it in Egypt and the ones that were in jail, they couldn't do it. They couldn't get up under the blood. Oh, sorry. You got to complete the instructions. You got to do what I said do. And I want you to memorialize this. I want you to remember this. And see, well, I'll do this on the morning when I talk about the Passover in the New Testament. Let me keep going. Finish this up. Let's see. Let's start at verse 30. I'm just going to read this through. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt. For there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up, get you forth from among my people, both you and your children of Israel, and go and serve Yah as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, in a hurry. For they said, we be all dead men. We're dead if y'all stay here. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, before it had risen, their kneading troughs being bound in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And Yah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent them unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. The Most High said, you're not leaving out of this land poor. I gave the Egyptians their riches. I'm going to make them be mindful that they give it to you. Whatever you ask for, say you need it. Gold pots, silver earrings, gold necklaces, fine silks, everything. We need to go worship because I gave it to them, I'm giving it to you. And they're going to happily give it to you to get rid of you because I have killed their firstborn. And Yah gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth. We keep a holiday called, what, the Feast of Booths, which means Succoth. About 600,000 on foot that were men besides children. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. So this mixed multitude are those people who are not Hebrew Israelites. But they went out with them, and they baked unleavened cakes of dough, which they brought forth out of Egypt. For it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry. They couldn't wait for it to rise. Neither had they prepared for themselves any victuals. Remember, everything that they ate that night, they had to eat everything. And anything that was left over, they're supposed to burn it. So they're leaving, and they didn't prepare food to take with them. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430th year, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of Yah went out from the land of Egypt. Now, this 430 years, if you go into Galatians, you will read that this 430 years was from the time that Abraham received the promise until Moses received the law. That's the 430 years. And in that same 430th year, Moses received the law from the Most High at Sinai. So they were in Egypt, counting from when Abraham received the promise to the day that they came out of Egypt, 430 years. And in the 430th year, the Most High brought them out. And in that same self-same year, he gave Moses the law at Sinai for the people. And that's how you can figure those dates, because the scriptures tell us what the time, when the time frame starts and when it ended. That also tells us that the 400 years of bondage and slavery could not have been fulfilled in Egypt. It's for another time. Another lesson. Let's finish this up. Now, here are some of the laws of the Passover. Verse 41. And it came to pass at the end of the 430th year, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of Yah went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be very much observed unto Yah for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. That is the night of Yah. This is a night of Yah to be observed by of all the children of Israel in their generations. And Yah showed, and Yah said unto Moses and Aaron, this is an ordinance. This is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. Now, this stranger, this is somebody who's just visiting. This is somebody who is not part of the body, not the body of Messiah, but of the body of Israel, because this is an ordinance to Israel. And no stranger who is not part of Israel, who is not completed what the Most High says you have to complete to be part of Israel, should take part, partake in this. This is a law and an ordinance, not something that you just do and you just invite people to. Oh, yeah, let me invite you to the Passover. Come on over. It's not what you do. This is for people who are Israel, and for those strangers that want to be part of Israel, who want to join Israel, have done the things to join Israel. Let's read it. A foreigner. Let's see. No. Verse 44. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. To take part of the Passover of Israel, the remembrance of Yah bringing our forefathers out of Egypt. Every male has to be circumcised in his flesh. It is a law. It is a requirement. It didn't change. So every Hebrew male has to be circumcised, and every stranger that wants to take part in it has to be circumcised in their flesh. This is the ordinance of the Passover. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. A foreigner is somebody that is coming in and visiting, tourists, coming into work, not intending to become part of the nation, somebody that has been hired to come there to work and not intending to become part of the nation. They can't take part in this. Let's continue. In one house shall it be eaten, and thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh abroad out of thy house, neither shall you break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with you and will keep the Passover to Yah, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. Now, this is a law. This is not something that is common. This is not a feast day that you invite strangers to. This is a feast day that those strangers that have taken an interest in serving the Most High in their heart and want to be part of Israel, then if they are male, they have to be circumcised in their flesh. If they are female, they must be circumcised in their heart. The male is flesh and heart. The female is in her heart. They need to be told this. They need to understand this so that they don't come and approach the Most High and they are not circumcised. Now, is Brother Miles going to check them? Uh-uh. I'm going to teach them. I'm going to tell them. Now, if you ain't circumcised, don't take part in this. If you want to come close, then you need to go and get circumcised. If you want to keep the Passover, and that's a hard thing for some people, but it is the ordinance. The only reason why we're not killing the lamb and putting the door on the doorpost is because Messiah takes that place. We don't go backwards and do a lesser and use a lesser when we have the fulfillment of it. But he said this ordinance we're supposed to keep forever. So the requirements, you male, you got to be circumcised. No unleavened bread within our houses for 7 days. Can't eat it. The first day is a holy convocation. The seventh day is a holy convocation. This is not a barbecue. This is not an occasion that we come and we drink and we get drunk or we do things that are unholy. So we are to have respect of this day, and it's not just a day that we are just keeping, but we are reverencing it. We are memorializing it. We are remembering what the Most High had to do to the Egyptians to deliver us out of Egypt and how he brought us out on eagle's wings and the plague that he brought upon the people to destroy their gods, to show them that what he told us, you are my witnesses, Israel. There is no other Elohim besides me. And I showed you, even in the wilderness, when there were no strange gods among you, that you could give the glory to. You couldn't say some other god brought the water out of the rock. You couldn't say some other god split the Red Sea and caused it to fall in on the Egyptians. You couldn't say some other god rained down manna on you in the wilderness. You couldn't say some other god flew in quail 3 feet deep, 10 miles wide every day. When there was no strange Elohim among you, I showed you who I was, that you might know and be my witnesses. Yah is Elohim, and he is Elohim all by himself. He controls the weather. He controls the animal. He controls the earth. The earth is Yah and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. You are my witnesses. Is there an Elohim besides me? I don't know any, so you can't know any. This night did I pass over you, and you saw me pronounce judgment and carry out my judgment on all of Egypt. You are my witnesses. You are to memorialize this and remember it forever. And you are to reverence it, not treat it as something common or just another holiday. It is holy. And we have turned it into something common. But it should not be so, and it will not be so. Let's finish this reading, and we will get out of here for this evening. Verse 48, and when the stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover of Yah, let all his males be circumcised, and let them come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourns among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as Yah commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that Yah did bring the children out of the land of Egypt by their families. We are to memorialize this. We are to repeat this ceremony. We are to explain it to our children and to their children's children forever concerning this day. And it's not something that we are to take lightly. So put your Jim Beam up, put your Crown Royal up, put your wine up, anything that's going to give you a buzz that you're going to drink to party with, to feast with, put it up. Not for Passover. This is a holy day unto Yah. And we cannot treat it as something common. But we are to observe what the Most High did and how he delivered us. And on tomorrow, we are going to talk about how this same thing applies to Messiah and how we should not be taking communion, the unleavened, which represents his body, and the blood, the wine, which represents his blood, as something common that if we are walking in sin that we partake in, because he says we don't discern, we're not discerning his body and what he went through. We're not giving it the reverence that it's supposed to have. These are not things that we do just to be doing them. They have spiritual and natural consequences. Some people are dying. Some people are suffering from diseases because they took the communion, not discerning Mashiach's body. Don't just do it to fit in. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. So I pray we have an understanding what we can and cannot do for the Passover, how long we celebrate it, from the 14th day until the 21st day, no leaven in your house. The first day and the seventh day are holy unto Yah. We are not supposed to work on those days. That's why we want to know about these things ahead of time when they happen. Why? So that we can take off for them. So that we can ask for those days off. And there's enough time to plan for those things. Like I said, vacation days, sick days, personal days, however your company does it, however who you work for does it. If you are a stranger, meaning that you know you're not a Hebrew Israelite, but you're wanting to take part in this feast day, you must be circumcised if you are a male. That is the law. It was not changed. It did not go away. Now, can you take part in communion? That's a whole different thing. But since Israel is commanded to observe this forever, we can't do away with this part. We have to combine it with what Messiah did. And what Messiah did, he didn't say, oh, and don't keep the Passover. He said, I have become your Passover. And we celebrate that as well. But one does not cancel the other. He just said, hey, I'm that sin offering. So just as that lamb was killed for you, I've been killed for you. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah. Father, we remember. We want to remember. We want to be observant. We want to memorialize. We want to lift you up and thank you for saving our forefathers and delivering them out of Egypt. And we shall keep your Passover, and we will give it all the respect and honor that it is due. And we will memorialize it, as you have said. We will keep it a memorial forever. We will be obedient. Father, see our service to you, our offering, when we come into observance, Father, and honor it. Pray that you see our hearts, that we recognize that you want us to know there is no other Elohim other than you. And by example, every Elohim that Egypt worshiped, you used to destroy them. And let them know ahead of time that it was you, so that they would give you all the glory, the honor, and the credit. For this purpose, you formed your people Israel, that our testimony might be, to us, there is only one Elohim. He is the great I Am. He is our Savior and our Redeemer. He is the one that passed over our forefathers and killed all the firstborn in Egypt. He is the one that came in the flesh and said, now I want you to take my blood and come under my blood, and I will pass over you in judgment. Father, we are so thankful. We thank you. We glorify you. We give you all the praise and the honor. And Father, we won't take it lightly. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. On tomorrow morning, we will do the Passover from the New Testament perspective. Who may take part in it. It has typically been called the Lord's Supper. But this is the New Covenant and the New Testament, and the requirement is different. So we have looked at the law of the old, and now we're going to look at the law of the new. And I pray we're all there for it tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. This is not something that we want to take lightly. This is a work that Yah has planned and planned before the foundations of the world. Not only would he save his priesthood, provide a way for them to be saved, but also provide a way for all mankind to be saved, to be passed over in judgment. And just as those who were caught in the dungeon and they couldn't meet the requirements, the Most High didn't say, oh, you're in the dungeon, I'm going to give you a pass. If we are disobedient, if we are out of place, then trust when he returns, he's not going to pass you over. If you don't do what he said to do, then trust he is not going to pass over you. He will tell his angels, get that one too, get that one too, get that one too, and remove them from my kingdom. So I pray that we are here, that we may get the understanding and the seriousness of this feast day, and that we treat it with all reverence and respect that it deserves. Amen. Father, yeah, we are your people. Father, we desire to serve you in spirit and in truth. If there be anything within us that will keep us from that, Father, remove it from us. Remove it far from us, even now. Take it away from us, that we might approach you and your feast days, and that we will celebrate you and honor you with a clear conscience and a clean mind and a pure heart. As we go our separate ways tonight, Father, encamp your angels around your saints. Keep them on their posts. Let them keep us safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And bring us back again at the appointed time. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. Remember, saints, Yah loves you. And I love you too. Shalom.
If I don't have you, it's all about you. Cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worth a perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah.